Well, last week we took a look at what how God was at work and what matters to us most. And I'll just list some major areas and review so that we can reflect on the next step that we might take. We looked at how God is a sovereign Lord who holds us to a moral center, that God is a generous provider who supplies us with plenty. He's a source of our vindication and victory. God is also a God of blessing throughout the lifespan. And we talked about the anticipation of serving God throughout our lifespan, especially as we begin with God, and then secondly, as we dwell in relationship with God, and thirdly, even in our old age, as we are devoted to God throughout the lifetime. It says they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. So even in our old age, we can bear fruit. We can stay fresh and green. But closed with this thought, this idea that we do not suddenly become something in our 60s that we have not moved toward through our lifetime. And I ask the question, if your present walk with God were a snapshot of what you might look like later, what do you think you might look like later? And so this is where I think this Sunday we take up, that came out of one of the Proverbs. And this comes out of Psalm. I'd like to look at Psalm 119. It's a familiar psalm. We're going to take a look at primarily verses 9 through 16. Psalm 119, we're looking at verses 9 through 16. This is actually an amazing piece of literature. It stands out in the world history of literature. It is what they call a gigantic acrostic. That is, for example, in verses 1 through 8, all of those verses in the Hebrew Bible begin with the equivalent of our letter A or Aleph. You'll see in some of your Bibles it has Aleph for verses 1 through 8 and then Bet or 9 through 16, and goes on through the Hebrew alphabet. So it's a fantastic piece of literature in its own right. It is also one of those passages of Scripture where you learn about the importance of God's Word. It is probably 12 different words that are used to describe God's Word, as you find throughout all of these. You can see the way it opens up. It also is designed to help those who are young. Probably because it was first written as an acrostic, it was a way of helping people memorize. You can remember, oh, yeah, the first 8 verses start with A, and that helps you remember what's in those sections. And the second one, B. And you'd remember all those sections. But you'll see, particularly as we open up in verse 9, that it relates to young persons. One person I thought did an interesting job of trying to, in English, reflect what is there in Hebrew. And so for our first reading of the scripture, I'm going to put up this person's translation of the passage. Would you join me? But how can youth remain unstained? By guarding their path according to your word. Being the whole quest of my heart, never let me turn aside from your commandments. Buried deep in my heart, your promise shall keep me clear of sin. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. By these lips be made known all the judgments from your mouth. Blissfully, as one that has found great riches, I walk in the way of your decrees. brooding on your precepts. I gaze on your paths. Basking with delight in your statutes, I never forget your word. So you can see there in English how the person tried to begin each sentence with the letter B. This is an interesting set of cliffs. Have you been there? It's in Ireland. It is beautiful. These cliffs in Ireland are the cliffs of Moher. Anybody been there? Okay. Have now. They're gorgeous. They're just amazing, stunning cliffs. Along the side of the cliffs is a trail or path that you can take, and you could find something like a person playing a harp. And notice something over here on the left of the picture. Can you see what's on the picture? What does it look like? Somebody falling off. So it's a warning sign that you could fall off the side of the cliff. Go over the wall, okay? You know, here's the problem with that particular cliff. I don't know who was there and they saw this particular thing happen, but tons of material just caved off of this cliff. And so lots of warnings went out in the papers and over the radio that they were having problems with pieces of the cliffs caving away. But here is the problem. Now, down at the bottom of the cliffs, there's this sign that says, danger, rockfall, serious risk of injury or death. Stay away from the cliffs. You remain at risk even at low tide. Where do you camp? Right there. Right there. That's the problem with us. The problem with us. Can you imagine? I saw another picture of one of these guys popping a wheelie on his bike. There's the problem with us. Now, they know that the cliffs crumble, and here they are having a bike trip. In one section, for example, you can see probably the path was here, and then eventually that got too dangerous, so they moved the path over on the other side of this berm area that they built. And now that is the path for people. That is the path designated for people to walk on. But there are people who obviously don't walk on the path. They've got to get out there. That's the problem with us. So you see, and the problem with us, got to get that picture, got to get that last picture, even if it means I hang my feet over the edge. The big question, let's go back. If this were a picture of life, these cliffs, if this were a picture of life, let's start with the question, how can anyone stay on the path of purity? And the answer is by living according to your word. Notice in the text, we'll take a look at that. In the New International Version, it says, how can the young keep their way pure? By living according to your word. Now, why do you think they would choose the word young? Vulnerability? Why would the young be more vulnerable? Okay, so there's not stored up wisdom yet in the young, yes? They've never seen the cliff fall. Okay? So young in the spirit, it could include that as well, yes?
The young are more eager to learn.
Ooh, that's cool. young could be more eager to learn? It's what? It's easier to learn at young? Oh, great. There's a great insight. An experience. When I was young, I wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. I just was not. You know, sometimes you've probably as a parent said, no, why did you do that? And you get this, I don't know. I don't know. I'm one of those people who said that. I don't know. It was just impulsive. It seemed like fun. Thought I'd try it. So there's a reason for this choice, but I think it's a positive thing. Is there any question that the young person could do what the author suggests? Anything in the text that suggests there's, this is questionable. We're suggesting that you do it, but it's questionable that you can't. I don't see that in the text. Now, so if young people can do it, surely older people with more experience can do the same thing. Correct? And if young people can establish such a habit at an early age, then what? Finish the sentence. Help me finish the sentence. Okay. They? The young could. Okay. What about us? So, how can the young keep their way pure? Any questions about pure? The idea of unstained, their life is an open book before God, the pure. There is an innocence. It's not compromised. Very true. By living according to your word, that there's one of the first times we see a word for the word of God used. In this case, you've heard probably the word before, Torah, by living according to your Torah, which sometimes people have taken only to mean the first five books of the Bible, but your Torah is basically your word. Your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. What does the first part of 10 imply to you? I guess we'd have to start with the word heart. When we seek with all our heart, what would that imply to you? Sincere intent, without reservation. Okay? Not divided. Desire. Purposeful. The word heart in Scripture is used in a lot of different ways. It's used to describe emotion. You know, it just tore my heart out. We use that idea. That's an emotional. It's trying to describe an emotional experience. It's used of desire. See, we've heard that already. With all your heart, it includes reason, that your intellect is involved in what you desire. Belief and trust. It's from the heart that you include all these things in doing God's will. Jesus expanded that idea, saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And with all your mind, we can love God with all those things. It means to desire God and what God wants, to want him, to need him above every other desire, want, or need. It's all that you are seeking all that God is. And then Jesus makes it particular when he says, if you love me, do what I command. Makes it very particular. So a commandment is another word for the Word of God. What Jesus asks us to do and be is part of that. It was David's love for God that motivated him to obey God's commands. And that's why he says in the second part of verse 10, do not let me stray from your commands. You notice, and I think someone mentioned this, we make the best effort that we know how, the way that we can. I like the fact that for the young person who's now considering God's word and the direction of their lives and how they can keep their way pure, that the verses in the preceding section also include these words. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your commands. What does that hint of? I've blown it. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your commands or your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. Can you see the moment? There are moments when we realize, and you look at God's word and you say, oh, my life is not that. This behavior is different than what God wants here for me. Or I've left the path that he set out for me. Those are the moments. So here is this person on spiritual pilgrimage admitting that. He says, I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous commands. So he knows where the good stuff is. It's to be found in God's commands, his righteous laws. He says, I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. So all of us have struggled and all of us have fallen. All of us need help in this way. But we're given hope that we can. So we begin again. How can a young person keep their way pure? It's by living according to your word. It means all of me. It means what we do and say. How's that going? As you hold the Word of God, as you look at the Word of God, is this comparison going on? And are you being called into a deeper, more wholesome life in God? Now, so I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. That experience too. Do not let me stray from your commands. The picture of the guy on the other side of the berm. Probably you've been there spiritually. You know where the path is. The other people are on the path. There's kind of my reference point. The other people on the path. And that yet, to climb over the berm and to go out here where there's no guarantees outside God's will about what will happen. It could be dangerous in the way that the cliff is dangerous to human persons. There are some choices, decisions we make in life that are profound in how they work themselves out as we step into them. So we have to be careful a bit about when we're tempted to go off and up over the berm. We have to be careful about that. A walkway that had been used. This is an important thing. Could you all hear that? Okay. If the potential is that we don't recognize it immediately, what could we do to keep ourselves from putting ourselves at risk? We've learned a few things here this morning. Anything you'd recommend? pay attention to the signs. Celebrate the U-turns. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, you're risking with him, not risking on your own. I just saw a nod. She was saying yes to that, I think. You know, some of the people who do that have been my heroes. They've said I'm on the wrong path, and they make a courageous step to turn around. That's excellent. Do not let me stray from your commands. Now, there is a point to that. I'll talk about it. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. This is maybe one of the things that I think the text recommends in response to this difficult circumstance that Rob's talking about, where at times we can be incrementally and step by step walk into something that's not so good. It's by hiding God's word in our heart. The NIV translates it hidden. I have hidden your word in my heart. Anybody else have a different translation here that puts that a little differently as far as the hiding part? I have treasured in my heart. Okay. Any others? Adopted. Adopted it as your own. Okay. The word translated hidden and treasured is about, as a Hebrew word that means to take something and either to store it or to hide it. And the reason we translate it treasured is because that's what we do with treasure, isn't it? If we value something, it's not only a treasure in and of itself, but we don't put it out for anybody to just take. We hide it. Now, in the day that this was written, where it was hidden was often it was buried or hidden. Something that's treasured. Now, if any of you have seen this little creature, what does this creature, Scrat, love? The acorns. Well, you would say it's his treasure, right? And you know what squirrels tend to do with their treasure. They hide it away. They put it away. So that's just a little memory peg there. I have treasured, Scrat can help me remember, I have hidden or treasured your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The more we do this, then the more we have, what would you say, awareness that we have about things that could lead us astray. There are times when, provisioned by God's word, you're presented with an opportunity and you go, oh no, that doesn't fit with who I am in Christ. That's not for me. I can't even go there. Because it is life-giving. It is life-giving, God's word. Calvin, writing in a commentary on this particular passage, gave an illustration. He said there are scholars, and he was a scholar. He said the scholars are basically people of their books. And he says if they become a scholar and they're not in their books, they soon aren't very good scholars. It's very true. Point well made. Purity, here in this case, appears to be a way of life that the psalmist was thinking it was the best way to live. Not, it doesn't seem to have that legalistic flavor. And we would certainly err if we thought that by ticking off all the little commandments and say, I did this, that we would provide a seedbed for pride to grow in our lives. There are basically two strong indicators, I think, strong commands And one is that we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So we're to love God. The other side of that here in Psalms, as the psalmist writes, is to not sin against God. And so that would be the point of responding to his word. It's so that I don't break faith with God. I don't break the relationship with God. I don't damage the relationship with God. Does this make sense, or do you have any questions about that idea that I just gave? The two basic ideas, first, to love God with our whole being. And the flip side of that, maybe the other side of the coin, is that we not sin, because that breaks faith. Sin breaks faith with the one that we're to love, heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so he's saying, how can the young person keep their way pure? By living according to your word. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So that's the idea. Any other questions with that? Did that, okay? Yes. Yes. Well said. And this is a great mistake that Christians have made through the centuries. Become little cloistered groups of people who have very specific standards of holiness down to the hair, you know, and yes. Yeah. Yeah. So here in the Psalms, it seems like it's more, the purity isn't being played to the people. The purity is being investigated before God. This is part of our Godward relationship. What does it mean to live as his person in this world? Thank you for going on record. I don't intend to do anything about it, except you've given me permission in your life. Thank you. We need this. I need this. Yeah.
I was thinking of it.
I like that word too. Did you like the word thrive? Huh? Thrive. So you can thrive as a person. That's what this is about. Thriving and loving God with our whole being. So you got the scrat. Hidden your word in my heart. The word hidden is interesting. It's internal, right? It's no longer print on the page. It's truth in the heart. It isn't just in the brain. It's in the heart. Your whole being or person is committed to it. So that I might not sin against you or break faith against you. To not be part of that. Hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So the word, remember, is a treasure. It is a treasure. I don't know how getting around stuff like this affects you. This is a group of coins found in a bag in a cave in Israel that's about 2,700 years old. Somebody just was in the cave, shone the flashlight on this little section, and there was a bag of coins laying there. It's just remarkable that you could find something like, I have no idea what it'd be worth. It would be astounding to know what something like that is worth. Now, yes? Oh, okay. So what would be a positive way of looking at this? It's if it's hidden with a positive connotation. A treasure you can share. Very good. Does that help? Excellent. there's a connotation of stored as well. So when you put something in storage, it's for bringing it out on another day. And I think our text will even indicate that here in just a second. But while we're thinking about the storing it up for another day, I'd just like to read one proverb. The ant prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. So if you store something up, then you have it available for later, right? So if you treasure it, store it, you have it available for another day. And I would call it the day of temptation, right? The day when it's not easy to walk in his ways, when you want to go over the berm by the cliff. So you can store it for something like that. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. And here again, I think it becomes, what's stored becomes available to others. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. Now, I'd like you to note the reaction of the person to God's word in these verses. What do you see? Delight? Rejoicing? To recount goes over and over and over. To witness? Oh, I think that could, with my lips I will recount. You could repeat it to others, yes? An eagerness. Okay? I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. To meditate is to reflect. It's part of that going over and over and over again and again and again. One of the things that we have available to us that the Old Testament saint did not is that this right here is available to most of us. It wasn't available to most people. They lived in what you'd call an oral society where the scroll was like this and it was read and you remembered and you went over it and you went over it and over it in your mind. And people could repeat things like the entire Psalm 119 cold. You can see how they value it, how they treasure it. I delight, here again, the response, I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Back to the word 15, I consider your ways. The word translated consider here is like, I take it apart and I look at it. Take it apart and examine it so that I understand it. It's what it means. And so it's looking at the way God does things and finding great delight in it. I think our scripture reading would be a lot more fun if we include that in our reading, to think, to take it apart and try to understand how does that work and why did God do it that way? What is God either showing me? What is God showing me to avoid here and why? Or what is God showing me to passionately pursue in the why of it? Okay. Chewing on it. So this implies our high regard for God speaking to us, paying attention to what he's saying to us, to think over and over about what the implications of that could be. It's trying to look at the depth of it, the scripture. It's trying to say, in light of what I'm reading here, how does that inform my life? And it's making it a part of me so that I actually delight in what God is showing to me through his word. Now, there's a number of signs up here. What is the first one on the right talk about? On the top right? Radiation. Okay. Warning against radiation. Next one over. Second one is poison. What's the first one? Caution. Next one down. Next one over. Well, we're going to need to figure out some of these. If they're warning signs. we're going to have to get clarity on some of these, aren't we? Yes? Can you say that again? Fallout.
Yes.
And the middle one?
I would think that would be risk of radiation.
X-ray. And the next one? You know the next one. Electrical. Mechanical.
Yeah. Get your fingers in this.
Fire. And what's the last one? Exploding. Okay. So that you've looked at these, if you've seen a sign like this, if you've walked up to a sign like this, are the people who posted them a bunch of curmudgeons? Curmudgeons. You know, have you ever? Grouchy old people? Cantankerous old? Huh? Okay. Grouchy, grumpy old people who just want to make people's life difficult. Is that the sense that you get when you read these? I'm not hearing too much of a negative response to these warning signs. God's laws and statutes and precepts are the same. They help. Yes.
Experience.
These are stored up experience, aren't they? So they're there for all of us to learn from. We might as well. And sometimes God's word does that. That was the part of it, that I might not sin against you. And the other part of it is so that we could experience the fullness of life in Christ. That's the rest of it. It's the other side of the coin, so that we can experience all that we were intended to be before God. I'd like to invite Scott to come with our closing song. Let's join in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We pray that you would help us hide it in our hearts. We are before you as your people and freely and willingly say there have been times when we've neglected that and the resulting potential of relationship that we could have in you. For this, we beg your forgiveness and your tender shepherding by your Holy Spirit to help us walk that path that you have before us, each one. We ask this in your name. Amen.